Welcome to Teacher Voice, a podcast dedicated to bringing you stories about teaching by teachers. My name is Brittany Franskoviak, and I teach high school biology in Columbia, Maryland. I'm a senior fellow at the Knowles Teacher Initiative, formerly known as the Knowles Science Teaching Foundation, or KSTF. I serve as an associate editor on Kaleidoscope, the official journal of the Knowles Teacher Initiative. In the spring of 2016, the Kaleidoscope Journal published an article called Teach 180, A Window into Our Classrooms. We're excited to host some of the authors of that piece for a panel discussion about the hashtag Teach180 phenomenon. Let's start with some introductions.
I'm Sarah DeMaria. I teach math in a small public charter school in Austin that's 100% PBL. I just finished my fourth year teaching.
My name is Nicholas Chan, and I teach 9th and 10th grade mathematics, so algebra and geometry, in San Francisco to students who are recent immigrants.
My name is Sophie Statte. I teach in the Los Angeles area, just outside of Los Angeles County. I just finished my fifth year teaching, and I teach biology, AP, and to freshmen, and English support.
So, Sarah, can you help us understand a little bit more about what hashtag Teach180 actually is?
It was kind of built from the blog 180 scene. So that seemed a little lofty to a lot of us to blog about our classroom that much throughout a year. But through Twitter, we figured, okay, we could just post a picture from our classroom once a day for the entire year. And so that's kind of where the Teach180 was pulled out. So you just kind of send out a picture of something that was happening in your classroom that day and a quick blurb about it. It was much more manageable for a lot of us. And we've been able to really kind of share from our entire year that way.
There was this aspect to Teach 180 that I learned about through Twitter itself. As I was new to Twitter, I noticed that people were posting this hashtag Teach180 and was curious about seeing what other teachers were doing in their classrooms. And that really was my introduction to Teach180, just an opportunity to share bits and pieces of the year in the same way that I know I had seen friends post about their New Year's resolutions to post a picture for the whole year of their lives outside of school. This was a way to frame and document my professional life.
In your article, one of the things that you and your co-authors discuss is this idea of elevating teacher voice and the teacher profession. And I'm really curious about how you see the role of Twitter or social media generally relating to elevating teaching. It seems like that might be a disconnect for some folks who are maybe not teachers or not into the social media scene.
I think that when we think about the images of teachers that we get from the media, from movies we watch, perhaps from articles that we read, from national discussions, even now about what teaching is or who teachers are, we get a lot of mixed messages about what teaching can look like and does look like. And in some ways it falls into this binary, teachers are these savior teachers and they go out and change really challenged youth in inner city contexts. And on the other hand, maybe teachers are really bad teachers and, you know, a la The Breakfast Club, they kind of drown on. But we as teachers in our teaching community, I think really try and push back on this binary to say, look, there are many ways that teaching is a profession, and therefore it requires continued growth, it requires support from colleagues, it requires collaboration, and that the life of a teacher, the day-to-day work of a teacher can be varied and various. And so in that way, Twitter provides a really useful platform, I think, to be able to show the work of a teacher in small sound bites and start to push back against that narrative of the binary, either teaching being kind of this savior role or teachers being really horrific and boring in their classrooms. I don't know, Sarah, what do you think about that? Does that match with your perspective?
Yeah, and I think I know that when we had Jose Vilson out for our summer meeting, the the entire KSTF group read. This is not a test. And his big push was that we need to find our teacher voice and we need to elevate teaching. A lot of, I think, in addition to the binary that you talked about, a lot of people see that we have summers off. And it just must be really nice to only work half a year and be done. And I think that this is a great window to really show exactly what is the day-to-day looking like, and what do you do, and reach out and really start to put the teacher narrative out there. I think a lot of us are working so hard that we don't take the time to share what we're doing, and so the narrative that's written isn't coming from teachers. It's coming from, you know, the students or parents or policymakers who may or may not have ever really stepped into our classroom, and so this is allowing us to tell our narrative and push our you know, our voice and our work out there to show exactly what's actually happening. And that's, we've gotten a wide range of the Teach 180. You get something really excited about your classroom and that's being shared, but also like, hey, nothing really exciting happened today. We had to really go in and do standardized testing or, you know, different lenses from any class have really been shown, which I think is really great.
I think that idea of, you know, us teachers being able to have a vehicle for pushing their own narrative of their classrooms is a really powerful idea. I think that's a really interesting way to frame this. And I think that that really connects to another idea that popped up in your original article, where you described hashtag Teach180 as a window into our classrooms. And so it sounds like this, you know, empowerment to show a day-by-day snapshot of what's happening in classrooms can be an empowering exercise for teachers. But I'm curious about whether what you see on hashtag Teach180 really aligns with your actual teaching selves. I know, as outside of my teaching life, my social media isn't necessarily a true reflection of who I am as a person. And I've dabbled a little bit with teaching blogging and hashtag Teach180. And for my own self, I think there's a tension between what do I feel like I'm really doing as a teacher versus what do I actually show the world that I'm doing as a teacher. And so I'm wondering how you all feel about whether the Teach180 stuff is it really a window into your classrooms or into the classrooms of other teachers who may be participating in it?
I mean, I think it's an excellent question. And to Sarah's point, there is such a varied way to be posting. You know, there are days where I feel like what I'm posting on Teach180 is really boring stuff, right? It's stuff about standardized testing. It's stuff about, you know, today we went over a syllabus or we took a quiz. But in that way, I do think there are ways that Teach180 is a window into my classroom because I don't always have exciting lesson plans. And it can be challenging, I think, in using Teach180 and kind of, let's see, as a teacher, I really want to portray my students well. And so I would say that one way that perhaps it's a window into my classroom, but also perhaps like any other social media, can be a little bit, I don't know if I know the word for it. It can be a little bit misleading, is that it runs the risk of making what I do look easy, or portraying teaching as only successful, and really as myself, kind of as this hero, which, like we said, was this narrative that we wanted to push back on in some ways. But I do think certain ways that it helps us see our classrooms or view our classrooms in positive lights, that really are windows into what we do, is to celebrate small successes that I don't always get to celebrate. You know, when a specific student writes something in their writing for me in my English support class, and that's not something that I would necessarily, you know, make a whole blog about, and it wasn't this transforming, life-changing experience, perhaps. But it is a small gesture. It is a small success, and having that opportunity to document 180 days of this means that I can share those small successes with a larger audience. But I would say that perhaps a way that it's not really an accurate window sometimes is that there are risks, perhaps, of sharing information with a larger audience, and knowing where those boundaries are mean that it's tough for me sometimes to share struggles or to share failure. and perhaps we can talk more about this, but I definitely think there are risks to posting certain parts of my classroom in ways that are authentic with a larger audience like Twitter.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first year I did the hashtag for the year, I felt like I had to put something amazing out there every day. It had to be positive. It had to be, you know, like, oh man, they're doing that in this classroom. Okay, I need to really make a picture or something look like something great was happening in my class every day. And that's just not the case. There's a lots of ups and downs in teaching. And so I think after that first year of thinking like, okay, I need to make sure that I'm posting this like widely positive narrative for my classroom. I was like, that's not real. There are days that are harder. And there are days that are, you know, less exciting. And so I think, as I became more comfortable with it, I think I have some of my most powerful posts have been ones that where I need help in my classroom. And I've got teachers who've reached out and came back and kind of gave you like tips and things, or I've posted questions as a teach 180 before. And so that's network has been really powerful to help really frame a more accurate window. And then kind of where Sophie was saying is you do, I mean, there are certain things that you can't share from your classroom. Different districts, you know, have different things where if you can post a kid's face on Twitter, or if you can, you know, use student names and all of those different things. So there are some things where maybe something happened that day. And, you know, if something really tough happened in my classroom, I know that I can't post that, during Teach 180. And so that runs into the lens of, okay, I need to show something different. So that's, I think where maybe the window stops are those really like tough teaching days that you can't share for legal reasons with the entire world.
I wonder, Sarah, I want to circle back to something that I heard you say in your response there. You talked about your more powerful posts. And so I'm wondering, again, from the perspective of people who maybe aren't teachers or who aren't involved in hashtag Teach180, like, what do you, when you say a post is powerful, like, how do you sort of determine this is a really powerful post versus, oh, this was just kind of like I checked it off for the day, but it was less powerful? What does that mean in this context?
I think when I think about powerful for me is either something that I'll remember. So looking back on some of these, like, you know, other apps like TimeHop will circle back all your posts to you the year after. And I'll look back and I'll really remember that day in my classroom much more than I would have if I didn't post something that day. So the one way those are powerful, I think, is just remembering those days. But for me, it's when there's a bigger response on Twitter. Maybe it generated a conversation, like started a conversation about something, or another teacher reached out back to me or vice versa. And so just, you know, people sharing it and looking at it and commenting. So I think that's really when it starts a conversation, or when you get excited, when you know that either you know, other teachers that you know are liking your posts, or even ones that you aren't that are liking or retweeting or saw something that they're going to change in their classroom or try out in their classroom because of your post. That's really exciting. And you feel like you don't feel like alone in what you're doing. And you feel like what you're doing has some worth to it. And you don't get that recognition every single day in teaching, but sometimes posting something small on Twitter like that can, someone can help validate kind of how you're feeling, or, you know, get excited or use something from your classroom to help their classroom. And that's always really nice at the end of the day.
So, we have this idea then that posts or pictures or, you know, things on social media that generate conversation tend to feel more powerful. And I think that might be surprising for folks who aren't teachers, because we think of teaching as this very social profession. Like, you are surrounded by people all day and talking to people all day. So can someone elaborate a little bit on, like, because you talk about isolation in your original article, and I think that the idea of teaching as isolating is maybe really unfamiliar to people who don't teach and who see it as like a, you know, a people profession. So what does that actually mean, that teaching is isolating? How does that work?
So you're surrounded by people all day, but really once the day gets started, I mean, the beginning of the day, you're surrounded by your coworkers, maybe. Or in some schools, you're walking in and you're walking directly into your classroom. The door gets closed, and the only people who walk in and out all day are your students. So really the teaching practice is all on you that day. There's no one coming in to, you know, give you some feedback or to bounce ideas off of. You're in and out of your own classroom. And so if nobody walked in that day and you didn't talk about your day and you didn't share it with anybody other than your students, those would be the only people who knew what went on in your classroom. Your admin might not know what went on. The person in the room next door might not even know exactly what was going on in your classroom. So having Teach 180 has allowed me to share like those days where nobody came in my classroom or I didn't talk to anybody about certain things. You're able to share that out with somebody. I think posting a photo is also really powerful too, because you're seeing like you can actually see, you know, an exciting moment in your classroom and it gets shared out. And I know that like in my case, it's generated people in my district and other teachers in my building to even ask or come in my room just based on a Twitter post. So that's allowed to really kind of break that down.
I would completely agree. One challenge and benefit of teaching in the context that I teach in is that I'm an AP Bio teacher. In my first year teaching AP Biology, I wasn't given any curriculum, and I was the only AP Bio teacher in my school. And trying to navigate the AP Biology community felt really daunting at first. And knowing that I was trying to prepare students for something that was going to be national and that was, I knew there were discussions happening about it nationally, was something that felt really kind of terrifying personally. And so while there are some outlets for being able to engage in conversations, and especially as a KSTF fellow, having Knowles community to reach out to was very helpful. Having Teach 180 allowed me in my first year doing it to post and to kind of raise questions about what I was doing in the context of AP Biology. And I think, as we noted in the article, it fostered connections. You know, anecdotally, there was a teacher on the East Coast who I haven't known and only know now through Twitter, who through these posts was commenting on activities that she was doing in her classroom. And when I had a question about, you know, should I be lecturing on this content because I really have nothing else to do, she could post and say, hey, you know, I've tried this activity. Have you thought about that? And it generated a discussion. Or, you know, even being able to see among other AP Biology teachers when I posted, you know, I have a question about what level of detail you're teaching this concept in. It was really comforting to know that other teachers had similar challenges, in addition to being able to give me some helpful resources that I could use in my own classroom.
And I think building off of what Sarah said, most people have been students in the United States, so they have this idea of the teacher is in front of the classroom interacting with students all day, which is absolutely true. But I think there's also so much behind that people don't see. I feel like some days is all about all of the paperwork that's taken up for planning or all of the logistical things that need to happen in order for an activity, for a unit to happen. And Teach 180, I think, is very powerful, both in terms of being able to share some of that behind the scenes things that absolutely need to happen that other people are not aware of, especially if a teacher is really good at making things happen without making it appear that there's a lot of stuff going into it behind the scenes. But I think it's also really important for us as teachers on days where we feel very overwhelmed by things that are not directly related to our content and our students, to be able to remind ourselves that that's right, here is kind of the crux of what my lesson was today. Here was the thing that I really struggled with or that I really want to remember my students interacting with.
I think Sophie started to bring up this idea of how her teaching has been affected by participating in the larger Teach 180 conversation. And I think that we've heard a lot about the ways in which Teach 180 is reflective and helps to portray some really important aspects of teaching that people might not see. I'm wondering about other ways that you feel your students or your classroom have been impacted by you participating in the Teach 180 movement conversation, experiment?
My kids, our school is very open about me posting, and I can post pictures of kids and I can and share that out. So that's really nice. But kids will follow me and they will see what I'm posting. And so now I get kids who are really excited and they're like, oh, are you putting that picture on Twitter? Or before they were like, why are you taking all these pictures? And then you explain that you're going to put them on Twitter and share out things that you personally are getting excited about in your classroom. And I think for students to understand that I'm excited about what they're doing, I'm happy about what they're doing, and like happy enough that I would like to share it with others has been really great. It might be a small math activity, and it's just the way they've arranged the algebra tiles that we're using. And it's something that I hadn't seen before. And just me getting excited about that enough to take a picture and share just a blurb about that. Or if they didn't see me take the picture and then later they see it on Twitter, the next day they'll come in and be like, oh, you shared this. Like, I saw it. So I think that's really something that's generated some excitement and engagement for them. They just know that I'm actually proud of what they're doing and see value in what they're doing. And I've also got some parents who have started following like the Teach 180 also. And that helps them to see like what their kid's doing all day. And they're excited too. And especially, if I put their kid in the post and I see that they like it or retweet it, and they'll come in and ask about that lesson or the project that we were doing. And it helps to really open some more conversations with parents to get them engaged in what's happening in my classroom. That's been really, really exciting.
I think you raise a really powerful point as well, Sarah, is that opportunity for students to see that we're excited about what they're doing is so empowering. I mean, I think we all on some levels want to see that others value what we're doing, and perhaps that's part of why we do Teach 180 as teachers. But for my students, same thing. I've had students say, oh, are you going to use this as your Teach 180 picture today? I've had students post, what was it? There was one photosynthesis lab that I did. And frankly, I think it's not terribly thrilling sometimes what we're doing, and having an opportunity for a student to, she saw that I was preparing the lab for the next day and she commented, I'm so excited for this lab tomorrow. And I thought, oh my gosh, this student who otherwise I'm not convinced would have been terribly thrilled for photosynthesis on a Thursday in the middle of November, was suddenly, able to kind of share that. And so in that way, I feel like it helped to at least generate a discussion about how teachers can be excited about what their students are doing and passionate about what their students are doing.
We've talked a little bit about opportunities to connect with parents and also a little bit about being careful about what gets shared on Teach 180 in terms of following district guidelines and applying our own filter to, what might be appropriate or not appropriate to make public. And I'm wondering a little bit about if you ever feel like Teach 180 can be risky.
Yeah, so I think Teach 180 can be risky on certain levels when you're making your work public if you are not necessarily following certain expectations in terms of curriculum. I know some colleagues where their entire school or their entire district is focused on or piloting a certain curriculum, and if they choose to make a decision that's slightly different from them in the interest of serving their students or a slightly different population, making that public can be risky because you're attracting the attention of people who are saying, wait a second, you're doing something different from what we're doing. And that can be complicated sometimes.
Yeah, I would add to that, I teach in a context that I love dearly. I also feel challenged by politically. I teach in a more conservative context, and as a biology teacher, there are times where the content that I teach, I think can brush up against questions from parents and from administration. And so I feel like sometimes that window that we were talking about earlier necessarily becomes maybe a little bit more narrowly defined and becomes something that I become very cognizant of. I know that my administration follows my Twitter, and I'm happy about that. I really know that there's not opportunities for my administration to see everything that happens in my classroom. I get observed once a year, sometimes twice, by my administration. And so having the opportunity to share is is really helpful, but it also, it feels risky in that I know they're watching, and given that they don't watch often, I want to make sure that the opportunities they do have to see what I'm doing are positive, because I really do believe that what's happening in my classroom is positive.
And I think as teachers, we just remember that anything you put on the internet is public and permanent. And so even if we're posting the best things ever, there is a risk that someone's going to twist it at some point. And, you know, right now I work in a really supportive school, and, you know, they love that we're sharing all of this stuff, but who knows down the road, you know, what something will bubble up into. So that's kind of another risk you run putting anything on social media, and just building it from there. So you just kind of hope for the best. But sometimes it is taking that risk. I think another thing is when you are asking those questions about your classroom, like I would not have asked a question or asked for help, on Twitter, prior to Teach 180, you know, or even in that first year where I really needed to put positive, you know, everything out there. But taking that risk to ask a question or put something out there that shows that you're not absolutely perfect, especially if your admin is following your things, and then you're asking about content, you're asking about a way to teach something. And so you can be pretty vulnerable and really hope that you get the responses that you need, and that the responses are supportive.
So for people who aren't teachers, what's the interest or draw of Teach 180? Is there potential for non-teachers to get excited about or care about the Teach 180 posting?
Yeah, I think, people have this view of teaching based on what they've seen as students. And I feel like there's so much more that goes into teaching beyond that, so much prep work, and the fact that it's a long process. It's many, many years building on itself. So Teach 180 is really good at capturing a series of those snapshots over time so that you can see not just the day-to-day, but how something builds and how students are changing and growing, and even how your teaching practice is growing. I think something that's also really interesting is I feel like so much of the pedagogy around teaching math has changed since I was in high school, when we were opening our books and taking notes and doing problem sets. So the fact that a lot of times a lot of teachers will try and work with group work and trying to get students to talk to each other and defend their ideas and really challenge each other, I think is really interesting to a lot of people I know who are not math teachers. I've actually almost sometimes gotten more of a positive response from friends who I went to high school or college with, who I shared math classes with, but who are now looking at my classroom and trying to understand the different ways that we try and teach math to different populations.
And I think a part of it is, why should someone outside of teaching care? I think this is kind of like our groundwork in this is, you know, we started this like a couple years ago now. And so just really, it's really kind of blown up. A lot of teachers have just like caught onto the hashtag and are using it. And I think the more that's out there, the more we'll be able to share with non-teachers. Like I know right now, I think a lot of the retweets or likes or things that I get are people who are in an education field. But I think as I build, like I said, like parents and students and starting to follow, I think that's really kind of where it might be an easy lead in next for people who are not in an education field to see what's going on and share. So the more that we can like share out there to see what's going on, I think it'll reach a wider community. And I think that's really kind of our hope, is to really, like we were talking about before, paint a narrative from our perspective, and be able to share really what's going on, and to get a true narrative into education. I mean, like, it's a foundation for, like, we are building and providing these opportunities for students who are one day hopefully going to be leading our country, or doing some really big impactful things. And so we need to remember how I think important education is. And then I think one way is for us to push our narrative out there. And so the more that we can share what's truly happening, I really think that hopefully that can lead to some positive change.
Yeah. And I feel like we had kind of mentioned this earlier along those same lines, that people who are making policy about education are generally not necessarily in the classroom today. And I don't have statistics to support that, but I think anecdotally, when you look at people who are in charge of education at national levels and sometimes even state levels, they haven't always been in the classroom, or if not recently. And so having that opportunity to share what's happening in a classroom, to share even sometimes the challenges and the struggles, gives up teachers an opportunity to weigh into that discussion, or at least to begin, like you said, Sarah, to paint a picture of what that really can and should look like in a classroom.
So I'd like to wrap up here with a quote from your article. And I think for me, when I was reading your article, this is the language that stood out the most to me about your own reflections on participating in Teach 180. Just as our students learn about themselves from their own engagement with course content, we are learning more about ourselves as teachers as we reflect on our own teaching and how it is changing and responding to our involvement in this social platform. So at this point, what do you think you've learned about yourselves and your teaching and your classroom from spending what's now been more than a year for most of you on thinking about and participating in Teach 180?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that for me personally, we've talked about this throughout, but this idea that there's a community of teachers, and that when teachers are professionals, they engage in a community and they reflect in a community. And that can be something that personally can be really challenging when you're in a more isolated context. And we've kind of talked about what that means. But for me, having the opportunity to participate in Teach 180 has helped me to learn kind of this self-compassion, you know, that there are other teachers who struggle, and that it's important to learn from failures when we have a chance to document those. But also that there are opportunities to celebrate things that I'm doing that are successful, that other teachers help me recognize and that my students help me recognize. I think I've also learned something about shared challenges in teaching from not only my own posts that folks respond to, but from following the hashtag and watching what other teachers are doing in their day-to-day, these shared challenges that in my context are maybe things like implementing our new science standards, or trying to conduct more labs that are more focused on student inquiry. And I really do feel like engaging in that community has helped me to have an opportunity to reflect and pushed me to try new things in my own teaching that I might not have otherwise had the opportunity to think about or try for various reasons, you know, not having other teachers who necessarily teach exactly the same content in my own school context, or maybe not teaching the same group of students and having an opportunity to see how other teachers are teaching similar content in different ways and with different students. So really having an opportunity for me to learn from others and realizing that teaching is a process of reflection and iteration. You know, this is the third year I've done Teach 180, and I was thinking, gee, if I went back to my posts, would I see the exact same thing for the last 3 years if I'm teaching the same subjects? And the answer is really no. Like, I've learned to iterate, and while that's not purely due to Teach 180, Teach 180 has given me the opportunity to iterate and reflect as well.
I think going back to that reflection piece, and I'm really, really good at overcommitting to things and doing too much. I'm excellent at it. But I'm not great at slowing down and reflecting. And Teach 180 has really forced me to do that. And just like slow down and celebrate something for the day. You can, as a teacher, you're just so, there's 20 million things you're doing every day. You can rush through a whole week or a whole month and not even remember something positive happening. Teach 180 has kind of forced me to slow down and really think about what happened that day. And it's helped me, like, when the posts come up, when I see old ones from previous years, I remember certain days much stronger now than I think I would have without it, because I took the time to go through and really think about what's happening today and what do I want to celebrate today. And that's that can be really helpful. There are spots in teaching that you, again, we talked about it being isolating, but that are just really difficult and really hard. And when you're in the middle of that and you're just going, and if you don't slow down and find something positive or, you know, share something or something to be excited about, it can really pull you down. And so sometimes Teach 180 has really pulled me out of some difficult spots teaching and realizing that there is this community out there to kind of check in and they're there to comment back and share and is looking at, you know, what's going on has really helped me to in that reflection process and really helped me again, like we said, to like iterate and look through things, remember what I was doing and expand on things from previous years. And that's been something really powerful that I don't think I really expected to come out of this hashtag.
Yeah, I think building off both of what Sophie and Sarah said, it's really pushed me in thinking about both documentation and iteration. I tend to teach the same class, but every other year, and my memory is notoriously bad. So when I'll open up my lesson plans, I'll try and remember what we did. Sometimes I won't remember to have written a lesson plan, but I've always got that photo of that day from 2 years ago, and just looking at it visually helps me remember, okay, this is a thing that went really well, or here's something that I really struggled with in that lesson, and I want to think about different ways that I can support that or structure that conversation differently or help my kids think about it. And I think in talking to teachers, both within the network of schools I work within and just in general, there are certain structures that are common throughout them. And I think prior to Teach 180, people would say, okay, what are you doing for your unit project? Or what are you doing for your portfolios? And I'd sort of, oh, I don't know, we're going to do the presentation thing. And with Teach 180, it has both helped me to clarify my thinking around, well, something that I really struggled with for portfolios was the presentation because of X, Y, and Z, or something that felt really successful were these certain snapshots of things that I had taken already. So it's given me something really concrete both to talk about and in some cases to point people back to my blog and say, here are all the photos I took from that unit documenting the things that I felt were really strong and really successful. Please take them. Please look at them. And if you have any questions, ask them about these concrete things rather than this 30-second blurb that I gave you, which was sort of unclear.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, everyone. If folks wanted to be able to follow your Teach 180 posts on Twitter, where could they find you?
I think with the post immediately, you can search the hashtag Teach 180. So you can find us and others through that. My Twitter handle is @MissDeMaria.
My Twitter handle, nobody gets to laugh at this. My Twitter handle is @SergeantPepper, SergtPeppa. It was my screen name in seventh grade.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Mine is much more boring. Mine is @SophieState, just my name.
All right. Thanks so much. It's been really great talking to you all.
Thanks, Brady.
You can follow me on Twitter @FRANCKOWLHS to read the original hashtag Teach 180 article and to find other great stories about teaching by teachers. Visit knowlesteachers.org/kaleidoscope.